Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I want to say this morning how thankful that I am for God's goodness in my life. I don't deserve anything that God has given me. I mean, none of it. But God has been good to me, far better than I deserve. And I just want to thank him. I just want to give him praise this morning for his goodness in my life. I'm thankful that he lives. I'm thankful that I have somebody to go to. I'm thankful this morning I have a friend that'll go through this life with me. He's never forsook me. He's never left me. I've strayed from him many times throughout my life, but he's always been there. Be a word or a thought on anyone's heart this morning before we change the order of the service. Yeah. Amen. Bless you, Sister Stacy. Amen. Bless you. Something else this morning. Amen. Amen. Bless. Remember her. Mm-hmm. And he said when he got to her that she was praying. And he said, I started praying too. We both prayed. And God performed a miracle and brought them back, both of them back up safely. Mm-hmm. I pray that she's saved, but she may not have been. That's right.
And I don't know when we leave the house in the morning if we're going to come back or not.
Yep.
And I tell you, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, that is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life, is to get ready to meet the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Most important thing that'll ever happen to someone in their life, that's for sure. Something else this morning. Anything. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Sister Yvonne. Appreciate this morning. Something else? If not, I'll try not to worry you, patience. I've got a few things this morning. I feel like a few thoughts the Lord has given me, and I want to try to look at this morning. I want to try to slow down a little bit. The Lord might help me. I want to talk about this morning the grace of God. And Lord, give me this thought this week, and I want to talk about His grace. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Without His grace, I'd be lost in my sin without hope. I'm thankful for the grace of God that He reached down His hand to me, though I did not deserve it, and still do not deserve anything that He's given me. Paul said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I'm thankful that grace, God just keeps pouring His grace out. It's not just once, but yet He pours His grace out upon you time and time and time again throughout your life. And I'm thankful for His grace. To me, I want to try to take some verses of Scripture this morning from some of the most beautiful verses of Scripture in the Old Testament, in my opinion. We're going to look at some of the text in the 24th chapter of Genesis. And when we come to this part, as we'll find that Abraham, who was once known as Abram, has directed his servant that he might go and find a bride for his son Isaac. And the last time that we read about Isaac, we read about him there in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where the Lord had instructed Abraham to take his son Isaac, whom he loved, and to take him up into the mountain and to sacrifice him. And we know then that the angel come to him and told him, basically stayed his hand, But we know through the reading of the Hebrew writer there in the 11th chapter, by all intentions, Abraham would have followed through with it, because he had faith in God that though Isaac be dead, that the Lord would raise him, which is a beautiful picture of what the Lord would do for all of mankind through his son. And I'm thankful for the pictures and the types and the shadows that we read about throughout the Old Testament. And we know that God provided a ram that was caught in a thicket. And so he provided the sacrifice. And he did. He provided his son. And we know the scripture teaches us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so with that being said, Sarah has died and been buried, and this brings us here to our text in the 24th chapter. It says, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thine hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto the son of my son of the daughters of Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. I must needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest. And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son hither again. And Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son hither again. And the servant put forth his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took ten camels of the camels of his master and departed, and for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to go on over here as well, and I want to pick up our reading here about the 51st verse of this 24th chapter. Says, Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son and wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men were with him and tarried all night. And they rose in the morning and said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. I want to stop there for a moment, and we'll finish the rest of our reading just here in just a few minutes. As we find here, Sarah, as we had said previously, had died, and And we know then that Abraham had spoken with his servant. Most likely, we tend to believe that was Eleazar, I believe is how you pronounce his name, from Damascus, as we can find previously in chapter 15. But we don't really know that for sure, but some believe that's probably who it was. And he made him swear unto him that he would go unto his kindred and that he would find a wife for his son. Now, as we look here in the Scripture, we find no picture of what Abraham says that his wife was to look like. He didn't instruct him to find a woman of beauty. He didn't instruct him to find a woman of a certain stature. But he told him to go unto his kindred, unto his country, and find him a wife for his son Isaac. And so here this servant, he takes out, and I want you to keep in mind this morning about these 10 camels that he took with him. And as he went out into this country, into Mesopotamia, and I realized this morning, I began to think about what kind of distance it was that we're talking about that they traveled, and different commentaries have different opinions on the distance, but some of them say between 500 to 600 miles each way. And so he took out on this journey with these 10 camels, only trusting upon what his master had told him to do. He told him to go to the country, and as he went there and he began to pray and ask guidance from God, he said, Lord, he said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, Lord, let there appear a woman unto me that would give me a drink, and not only when I request that drink that she give me a drink, but that she would give a drink to my camels as well. And so no sooner than he had got that prayer out, here comes Rebekah. And as Rebekah comes upon the scene, he begins to ask her if she would draw water for him. And not only did she draw water for him, but she began to draw water for these 10 camels. And as she done that, not being what you'd say asked to do those things, but because that was her desire to do that, that was her willingness to do that, she began to draw water. And I began to think about what kind of water we were talking about and began to think about these camels. And I want you to understand something this morning. A camel is, I don't claim to know a whole lot about them, but a camel this morning is quite distinctive in his character as far as what he is. And he's made to go through the desert. When you read about these camels, you read about how that they were built to designed to go through the desert land. And their bodies were designed in that manner. And they could hold up to 20 to 30 gallons of water as far as drinking in one span of time. So I began to think about how much water she was drawing for these camels. And I approximately somewhere between 200 to 300 gallons of water with this pitcher that she was going back and forth. Now, I want you to imagine that just for a moment. Here's this young damsel. She's a virgin. The Bible says that she was fair to look upon. The name Rebekah means beauty. And she was beautiful to look upon, but that isn't what the servant of God was looking for. He was looking for one that would be obedient, one that was looking to be to work and to labor and to do what was asked of her. And to go above and beyond the means, she could have just went and got him a pitcher of water, but she went above the means of what was asked for her, and she was willing to water all of these camels. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment, in a sense of the pitcher that she had. Wouldn't have been very big. She would have had to make many, many trips back and forth to retrieve this water. But yet, still she did. So here it is, the servant. I began to think about what types and shadows and pictures this is. And boy, I hope I'm able to bring some of this out today. But to me, that servant is the most beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. This morning, that how the Spirit of God is directed. And if we'll allow the Spirit of God to have free course this morning, that He'll lead, guide, and direct. And this morning, as I began to think about Isaac, and to begin to think about he's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus, as we read about even in the 22nd chapter. And here it is that his father was seeking him out a bride. And so here it is, the servant, he goes into their home and he begins to talk to them and tell him what he's there for. He describes how his master had sent him to his kindred. He tells them all about different things. And finally, this brings us to a reading that we just come upon. And we find here that they begin to inquire with her. And they begin to question certain things. They said, well, let her abide here 10 days. And my friend, that's the way the world is today. My friend, the world senses a time that there's all kinds of time. But here the servant, he said, hinder me not so. He said, I must be on my way. And my friend, this morning, if we allow ourselves, we can stand in the way of God's work. We can quench the Spirit. We can stand in the way of God. But if we'll allow God this morning to stand back and just let God work, and just let God have His way, and ask the Lord this morning to be used by Him and for Him this morning, God can do great things. He can do great things. I believe a lot of times this morning, if we're not careful, we'll limit God. We'll limit Him. But I want you to know this morning that God is limitless. So I want you to understand this morning that even that's a worldly aspect. That the world will tell you that there's still time. Listen, that's Satan this morning. He's telling lost people that there's still time. He'll tell you to just sit back and you'll have tomorrow to seek the Lord when you've already heard this morning that God is no respecter of person, that the end can come at any time. But my friend, all you can be is ready when the Lord calls you. That's all we can be. So here it is, they said, well, let Rebekah answer for herself. Let Rebekah answer for herself. And this morning, I want you to know that that's something that each and every one of us have to do, is answer for herself. Nobody has made me seek the Lord. Nobody has made me choose this day whom I'll serve. But my friend, that's a choice within myself that I desire to want to do. Because I think about, just as I said this morning, how good God has been to me in my life. And this morning, I can't think of nowhere else that I'd rather be than in the house of God and to be around God's people, serving Him, because God has been good to me. God has been good to me. You've got to choose. The world is pulling in one direction, and my friend, I'm thankful God is pulling in another direction. God desires to have our whole heart this morning. But I want you to understand here, as this servant, he came and he put jewels on her, and he began to adore her. He put jewels on her brother. He put jewels on her, on his mother. On her brother and mother and her family. And I want you to know, he gave her an earring and he put bracelets on her wrist this morning. And my friend, that's the way God is. When He saves you, I'm thankful this morning that that's not just the end. But my friend, when you're serving Him, He'll put treasure upon treasure upon treasure upon treasure. He'll bless you. Even when you don't think you can't be blessed anymore, He just keeps putting treasures upon you. And my friend, I believe not only is that what the Lord is talking about laying treasures up in heaven where moth and rust doeth not corrupt, but my friend, He gives us that security that He's put in our heart. But my friend, this morning, God just keeps laying treasures upon your life. At least that's how it's been with me. He just keeps adding and adding and adding to you throughout your life. Here it is, we find that it says, and the servant took 10 camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were with him in his hand, and they arose and went into Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, and the evening time that the woman had gone out to draw water. And he said, oh, I'm reading in the wrong verse there, ain't I? Here in this 26th verse, he said, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?'" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I want you to know this morning, I began to think about the grace of God. Where would I be without the grace of God? Where would I be without His unmerited favor? And I could see that camel. I heard a preacher many years ago, he preached on a camel called grace. And boy, I thought about that, and that settled in my heart. And I thought, boy, what greater example do we see? And when you think about this camel this morning, I want you to see that camel, my friend, and I want to give you just a few aspects of these camels. And I'll try to get on with my point just here in a minute. But a camel is built for the desert. And my friend, I don't know if you realize it or not, but me and you are in a wilderness. And just as Moses and them went through the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, 40 years, my friend, and then they crossed into the promised land, me and you are in a wilderness. And it seems like it's a dry and desolate place, but my friend, the grace of God is the only thing that can take us through. My friend, it seems like the sins and all the things of this time that we live in, and listen, I still believe that God is still good. He's the best thing in the world today. And my friend, I know we talk about how bad times are, but my friend, God is still good. He's still seated at the right hand of God. He's still making intercession for mankind. He's still able to save souls today. Listen, I think we still live in a pretty good time. These camels, I don't know how familiar you are with them. I couldn't climb up on a camel if I tried to. But you know what a camel does? A camel gets down low. A camel gets down low. Bible says that the Son of God made Himself a little lower than the angels. We know that John tells us that He is full of grace and truth. And my friend, this morning, He got down low. The Savior of the world did. He got down low. And He took upon Him all the sin of mankind. He said that He commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, He commendeth His love towards us. He gave His love. God is love. When we think about what song we were singing, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow." He said, "All fear is gone. Perfect love casteth out all fear." My friend, yes, there's moments in this life that I'm afraid, but I'm thankful that His love cast out all fear that I might have in this life. The grace of God got down low for me. He got down to a place, and when I finally got down low, you know what He did? He picked me up. Camels are meant to bear burdens. They're the truck of the desert, you'd say. That's what camels do. They bear burdens. And that's what the grace of God does. That's what He does. He helps us to bear our burdens. He carries the load. This morning, if you feel like that you've got a load that's too heavy, why do you think that Paul said that His grace is sufficient?
He had a thorn in the flesh that he had asked God to remove. But you know what Paul said? He said, His grace is sufficient. I think about what the writer of Amazing Grace says. He said, Grace has brought me this far. And he said, Grace will lead me home. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. For it is a gift of God. Listen this morning, it's all by grace, through faith. It's the grace of God. And when I think about here what this writer says, as we find here Isaac was out in the field and he was meditating, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw her, and behold, the camels were coming. And I thought about his bride. I thought about how beautiful his bride is going to be to him. She's going to be without a spot or a wrinkle. She's really going to be something to be adored. I'm in the flesh now, but there's coming a day that the bride of Christ is going to be beautiful. And I thought about how my bride looked to me on the day that we married. And you say, well, preacher, you're getting all emotional. I just can't help it this morning. I remember standing there at that altar, and here come my bride. And she was the most beautiful thing that I'd ever seen. She was the most beautiful thing that I'd ever beheld in all of my life. I thought, Lord, how blessed that I am to marry this woman. And you think about the bride of Christ and how beautiful she's going to look. He lifted up his eyes to his bride. I'll tell you something, it ought to mean something to be part of the bride of Christ. It ought to mean something to live for God, to be a part of His church. It ought to mean something this morning to know that His grace is sufficient. It ought to mean something this morning as God's people to know that grace has brought me this far and grace is going to lead me home. It's His amazing grace. Said he lifted his eyes and saw. He said, behold, the camels are coming. I can't imagine. I don't know if I understand it all. I don't know if I'll be a part of the bride. But boy, I know I'll be there to witness it. It's truly going to be something to behold. It's going to be beautiful. I'll get to see it and behold it. The Lord and His bride. You think about this morning how much, husbands, you love your wives. And Christ loved the church so much that He gave His life for it. His own blood. That's how much He loves the bride this morning. That's how much grace that He has. Not just for me and you, but for all of mankind. I want you to think about this morning. That grace and His forgiveness and what He's able to forgive you through in this life. You know what's amazing to me is when God saved me, not only did He save me from the sins that I had committed up into a 9-year-old little boy, but He had saved me from every sin that I'd ever commit. He washed me in His blood. That's grace. Him and His foreknowledge, knowing that I would fail Him time and time and time again. And yet He said, I love Him, and I'll forgive Him, and I'll show Him grace where He don't deserve it. That's amazing to me, how that God can do that, how He can save you and give you grace throughout this life, knowing that I'd fail Him. That's amazing to me. It says Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. I believe she come right up. She didn't need the camel no more. She had never seen him. She didn't know. I don't know. I tend to believe this servant of God had told her a whole lot about her, because she told she knew, the parents here knew, her family knew that she would be the mother of thousands of millions. But I'll tell you this, she'd never seen him before. But can you imagine what it's going to be like when he lifts up his eyes and he sees you and you see him and you know that grace? When you close your eyes in death and we cross over that river, that I know that he's going to be there. And I see him. I won't need grace no more, Brother Strode. I'll have made it home. And I'll behold him. And I'll come off that grace that led me home, and there he'll be, and I'll be with him forevermore. I'll be with him throughout the rest of eternity. This morning, I tell you, if you've never been saved and you've never experienced the grace of God, I can't tell you how to pray this morning. I can't tell you what to say. But all I can tell you to do is go to the Lord this morning and pour out your heart before him. And my friend, when the Lord saves you, you'll experience that grace, that love of God that you know that you don't deserve. But yet he looks upon you and he loves you anyway. This morning, grace is one of the most wonderful things that I guess I've ever experienced. His grace has kept me from an eternity of burning in hell. His grace helps me throughout my day. His grace is going to lead me home. This morning I pray, if you don't know the Lord, to seek him with your whole heart. Church, I think sometimes we need to be reminded about just how good God's grace is. That he give us a home in heaven. He's give us so much that we don't deserve. I think about my life and I think about how small that I am and how many times I've failed God. And then I just feel his grace. He just pours grace upon grace upon grace throughout my life. She lighted off that camel. And it says the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And when Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This morning, I know I've been short and I've been scattered and all over the place, but I hope you understand this morning just how good the grace of God is. God's grace is sufficient. You ask me how I know? Because I felt God's grace throughout my life. The love of God. He loves us today far beyond what we can even imagine. Brother Mike, if you'll get us a song. If you're here and lost and you've never experienced the grace of God, I pray that you would seek him before it's an everlasting tomb.
Two ninety-three in Mulls.
Thank you.
didn't know the journey. All she knew to do was to ride the